Okay, we're starting Perek Memtes, Pasuk Aleph. Perek Memtes, Pasuk Aleph. That's on page 274. Perek Memtes, Pasuk Aleph. Last time we finished off with the was before Pesach. We finished off the concept of Charbi Bekashti, the various levels of davening, and Teira. We're discussing the close-up battle and the distant battle, and all that. Okay, so now, after Yaakov Avinu was finished with Yosef, giving the brachas to Menashe and Ephraim, and to Yosef, and so on, so the Pasuk says, Vayikra Yaakov Albanav, Yaakov calls his children, and he basically is calling them to give them a bracha before he passes away. And last week we were also discussing the difference between bracha and tefillah. That bracha is basically a very fundamental concept in Yiddishkeit, because the inyan of bracha is to bring down those aspects of godliness that the person himself doesn't have the ability to bring down, so the tzaddik brings it down. So Yaakov Avinu is calling his children, Vayemen, he says to them, Hey Asvu Vagidu Lachem, gather, and I will tell you, Esa Sheyikra Eschem V'Achir Sayomim, was going to happen to you at the end of days. And we'll soon learn that that's not what Yaakov told him at the end. But Yaakov Avinu was planning to tell the people, now, Vayikra Yaakov Albanav simply means he gathered his children from wherever they, different places that they were. Some Mefarshim learn, it taka literally means his sons, but he means basically his descendants of all generations. What does it mean, the expression, hey osvu, assemble? Now, the concept of hey osvu refers to, there's a difference between gathering a large crowd, or a sifa is a small crowd. Like when you have hakel, a gathering, Vayakel Moshe, it means a large gathering. When you have an asifa, a meeting, it's usually a smaller amount. And in Hebrew, the word is Eosfo. So he's saying that even though the Jews ended up with a lot of people, but now Yaakov is calling even the select few to give them this bracha. Some Mefarshim learn, like the Klal Yaakov brings down, that the word asifa means when you gather people from outdoors to come into a room, and kibbutz sometimes means the people that are in the room, you're just gathering them together. So asif is more of an expression of outside people that they're calling in. Another thing, which is a beautiful medrash, that Yaakov on his deathbed is telling his children, hey asfu, gather and unite. You know, no, he's telling his kids, hey asfu, my last words to you is gather and be united. Okay, and then you'll be able to withhold Ashiyikra Eschem Achir Sayyamim, what's going to happen through the exiles of the Jewish people. When the Tzemach Tzedek was old and came his older time, so the Chassidim asked him, what's going to be? You know, what's going to be after you pass away? So Tzemach Tzedek said to them, first of all, I have my children are here that can lead. And secondly, he said that the Achdus, the unity of the Chassidim, will last them until Mashiach. The unity of the Jewish people is what the existence of the Jewish nation is dependent on. And we said many times, the example, if you have one single straw, it's very easy to break. When you put a bundle of straw together, it's almost impossible to break. So Yaakov Avinu is telling to the children, now Golus Mitzrayim is starting in severity, in seriousness. There's going to be problems throughout, until Achir Sayyamim, until the end of days. So the Medrash is saying that you have to be united, and that's the only way that Mashiach can come. Okay? That's the only way it's going to happen. Now, Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell them when Mashiach is coming. Because Yaakov Legalis Asaketz, Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell him when Mashiach is coming, and the Shechina left him. And we'll get into those details. So the Rebbe asks an interesting question in a very famous sicha. The Rebbe says, what do you mean Yaakov wanted to tell his kids that Mashiach, when Mashiach is coming? In other words, from the time Yaakov Avinu died, is over 3,500 years until Mashiach still hasn't come yet. Can you imagine if Yaakov would turn to his kids and say, hey guys, listen, Mashiach's coming in 3,500 years, stick around for a while. You know, keep your hopes up high. What is this Yaakov Avinu wants to tell his children when Mashiach is coming? What's he gaining by it besides depressing them?
They lose hope.
They're going to lose hope.
Yeah.
So the Rebbe explains in the Sikh a phenomenal concept. That by Yaakov wanting to reveal the Ketz of Mashiach to the children, he was basically saying that you people have the ability to make it happen quicker. In the Haftarah that deals with the coming of Mashiach, the Pasuk, it says, Be'ita Achishana. Be'ita means Mashiach's coming in his time. And Achishana means he's going to hurry up. So the Gemara asks, if it's in his time, it's not hurried up. And if it's hurried up, it's not in his time. How could you have Be'ita and Achishana? And the Gemara answers, Zachu, if the Jews merit, it will be quicker. Loi Zachu, if they don't merit, it'll come in his time anyway. Now the Mashiach has a deadline, which the latest he has to come. But the Jews have the ability to make it come quicker. And this is how the Rebbe explains at great length. One time, you find in the Gemara says, like, very sharp expressions about those people that figure out when Mashiach is coming. Okay? Yet we find that many great tzaddikim, including the Rambam, and many, many great tzaddikim, gave a time when Mashiach is coming. So the Rebbe explains what the tzaddikim wanted to do by giving a date, so to speak, for Mashiach to come, is to give the Jews the inspiration and the motivation to do things to try to get Mashiach to come earlier. So Yaakov Avinu, by gathering the children, wanting to tell them when Mashiach was coming, he was basically telling them that you have the opportunity to bring Mashiach even quicker. So rather than getting depressed out of it, from the fact that Mashiach is going to come who knows when, Yaakov Avinu is telling them that Mashiach is coming.
Do we know when is the latest?
6,000.
It's the year, so 5,000, another 200 some odd years?
Yeah.
For sure. Not, they want 7,000. Won't go.
No. Once it's 6, they're not going to say 7. No, they don't work like that.
6,000 is it is.
That's the limit.
What is in our generation?
Maybe.
Huh?
It won't be in our
and what is in our generation?
Maybe, hold on.
50 years and it will be no generation.
I'm saying that's the latest he can come.
Where's the source that speak about 6,000?
The Gemara in Sanhedrin. To Allah from Tehil, to Allah from Tehil, to Allah from Yemesa Mashiach. Shit Alfishnit have Alma. The Gemara says the world is for 6,000 years. 2,000 years desolation, 2,000 years Torah, and 2,000 years the Erev Mashiach. And then the Gemara says, Chat Cheruv, which means there'll be a higher level of world at that time, after the year 6,000.
But that would be the beginning of 6,000, no? See what I'm saying? I mean, 5,700...
It will come before, don't worry. It will come soon before.
And now let's take it in the weekday example. We understand weekdays better. Okay? When Friday is over, the sixth day is over. When you're 1 year old, your year finished. Now you're starting your second year.
Right?
So when the sixth day is over, we're starting Shabbos.
Which is the seventh day.
The seventh day is Shabbos, that's the era of Mashiach. Now, you can have an early minyan Friday. You could bring Shabbos in earlier, correct?
Right.
Okay. So that is the concept of being Mashiach and earlier.
Again, I'm confused. I don't know what you guys.
What are you confused about?
Because if it's sixth day, this is seventh day. They're saying it's fallen a 7,000 year, not the 6,000 year.
By the year, right? By the year 6,000, which is the end of 6,000 years of creation, right. That is the latest time Mashiach can possibly come, no matter how bad we are.
First of Tishrei.
What's the problem?
Because the problem when you say fall on Shabbat, so Shabbat is Friday, the sixth day. When the sixth day finishes,
that's the latest Mashiach can come.
Right, so that's the
first. The latest.
Correct.
Right.
So that's the sixth, last sixth day. Friday, the last day of sixth
right.
day. Not Friday morning, which is not the.
Not Thursday evening.
Not Thursday evening, thank you. Not Thursday.
When
evening.
Friday is over. But that's the year 6000. That's
Sunday
the year
6000.
Huh?
Sunday
right.
is 0 to 1000.
Right. Sunday. Right. Sunday is 0 to 1000.
Right.
Monday is 1001 to 2000. Friday is 5100 to 6000. Okay, now the Medrash says that Mashiach's time of coming was revealed to two people, Yaakov and Daniel, and it was hidden from both of them. Okay? It was revealed to them, and then Hashem took it away from them. Right. Now, the reason the Mepharshim say, why did Yaakov Avinu want to tell his kids when Mashiach is coming? Because he wanted them to be excited, so to speak, and enthusiastic about it. Okay, now what happened is as follows. There's a famous medrash over here. When Yaakov Avinu lost the Shechina, Yaakov Avinu felt bad. And he said, maybe my bed is not complete. Just like Avram had a wicked son Yishmael, and just like Yitzchak had a wicked son Esav, maybe one of my kids are not, maybe one of you guys are not so good, and that's why the Shechina left me. So the children said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yisrael is Yaakov, right? So they said to him, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael. Listen, in fact, in the commentaries they ask, how did they call their father by his first name? And they didn't mean the name of Yaakov as a person. He meant to covet the higher name of Yisrael, which he was, though he was able to fight with angels and with people and win. So they said to Yaakov, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're all good, you know. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So when Yaakov heard that all his children said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Yaakov Avinu said, Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Aleilam Vod. So that's why the Gemara asks, so what should we do? In Chumash, it doesn't say, Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Aleilam Vod. Right? In the Shema, it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we all have to. So the Gemara says, should we say it? How could we say it? It doesn't say it in Chumash. Should we not say it? But Yaakov Avinu said it. So what should we do? So the Gemara comes up with a brainstorm, you say it quietly. That's one of the reasons why we say Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Aleilam Vod. That's what the Gemara says. Then there's a Medrash that says that Baruch Shem Kved Malchus has a different origin. It's not contradictory necessarily, but it has a different origin. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up at the Har Sinai to get the Torah, so he overheard the Malachim singing this praise to God, Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Aleilam Vod. So Moshe Rabbeinu went down from Har Sinai with stolen goods. He stole it from the angels. And if you have stolen goods, you don't publicize it. You know, you keep it quiet. So Medrash says, we say Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Aleilam Vod quietly because it was stolen from the angels. On Yom Kippur, we don't eat, so we're all like angels. So on Yom Kippur, we say it out loud.
This is a joke? Or is this
no, that's the Medrash.
You tell that even it's forbidden to steal a fikoman, it's not good education for children. As our Midrash tells that Moshe steal it and it doesn't take the stuff.
Only Jews know how to steal good.
First of all,
forbidden for education is how we say the things like this.
First of all, the fact that Hashem allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to hear it in heaven showed that Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to have it.
He didn't steal it, he hear it and he use it.
Yeah, but it's something that the angels use. And when you want to take something that the angels have copyright on and you want to use it, so as everybody knows, when you're pirating tapes and everything else, you don't publicize it to the world that you're pirating it. Moshe Rabbeinu took it from the angels. It was the angels' inyan to sing Shira Tashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu took it.
When the Bnei Israel tell Nasev Nishma, angel didn't tell yes, they stole it for us. They tell who gilah raz, okay? It's not was Nineveh.
What?
Why is this expression?
The Medrash says the expression. In fact, the Medrash gives a mashal of a person that steals jewelry from a jewelry store, and you don't go around wearing it in public. You wear it in your house.
Well, who had it first, Yaakov or the
Malach? Oh, so now the question is, are these Medrashim arguing against each other? Or it could be both are right. It could be Yaakov Avinu had it first. And then the Malachim took it away, so to speak, for their usage. And that's why, I was going to come to this, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, hey, it's really ours.
But
now that it became used by the angels, we don't... There's a lot of traditions, by the way, that the Goyim took from the Jews, and it became their tradition, and therefore Jews don't do it anymore. Huh? No. Mikvah was always...
wearing black.
Yes, color. Wearing black at funerals. The Gemara talks about it. And then became a Goyish tradition to wear black. So Jews in Halacha says you don't. I mean, people stood, but I'm saying Dafka to wear black. If you wear black, you wear black. I mean, I'm saying Dafka to wear black at a funeral is a lot of issues that the Goyim took away from the Jews. And there are a few more examples, nothing coming to mind now. They got everything. Our moms became their god. I mean, so mikvah is halacha. It's not a custom.
How about the turban? How about the turban?
What?
Did they take the turban from the Jews?
They took everything from us.
Aaron and Cohen had a turban.
Yeah, I'm saying they took everything from us.
But Yaakov went with the leather upstairs. Maybe Yaakov stole it from Malachim either. Get upstairs and listen. Come back with
this. That I haven't seen.
What about the? I think there's a word of stealing by this, right?
Says you're not allowed to.
No.
Should they have a? They could do whatever they want.
I know.
If they print it, they have a right to do whatever they want. One of my kids came home today from school with a terrible complaint. They went to the candy store, and the candy store hiked up the price of the ice cream. And they don't have a right to do that. My kid was saying, they don't have a right. I said, what do you mean they don't have a right? They can do whatever they want. Don't buy it. They have a right to do it to me.
Yeah, but here it's Tater.
They're not copywriting Tater. You can't copyright a Chumash. But the layout of the pages and the commentaries, the way it was organized, they can copyright. Sure they could. Both legally and according to Torah. What?
When Yaakov said Baruch Hashem to God, did he say it out loud or secretly?
He said it out loud. Okay. That's why, by the way, it's another interesting thing. You know, in davening, sometimes you have psukim. And then you have the Aramaic phrase interpretation of the Pasuk. I'll give you a simple example. At the end of Az Yashir, you have Hashem Yimlech Lamavad. Then you say Hashem Achusei Koyem La'ola Malo Me'omaya. Then you say Kivos Uspare. Right? So, Hashem Achusei Koyem La'ola Malo Me'omaya is the Aramaic, the Targum Unkelis of Hashem Yimlech Lamavad. Okay? So it's the same issue as Baruch Shem, by the way. If you ever listen to the Rebbe Davin, when the Rebbe davened, he said Hashem Yimlech Lamavad loud, and Hashem Achusei, he said quietly. And then he said Kivosus Pari out loud again. Because it's the same reason as Baruch Shem.
Because
it's stolen. No, because it's not in Chumash. I'm saying the first Gemara. The Gemara says, what should we do with Baruch Shem? The Gemara says, what should we do with Baruch Shem? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, but Yaakov Avinu did. So what do you do? So you say it quietly. And it's the same reason, probably, I imagine, why if you have a Chumash and in the middle you have an Aramaic translation of a Pasuk, which is not in the Chumash, so you also say it quietly. To differentiate between the Chumash, that's like by Baruch Shem, you differentiate between what it says in the Chumash and what Yaakov Avinu said. One sec. Okay, so, one second. Okay, now, so Yaakov Avinu is telling them, gather and I will tell you. Eitz Hashayikir Ezcha Machris HaYamim. This is a very interesting Balaturim. There's a very interesting Balaturim over here. The Balaturim says that when the Shekhinah left Yaakov, so Yaakov said to the children, maybe you have a chait, maybe you have a sin. So the children said to him, yeah, look at all of our names, there is no ches and tes, which makes up chait. In all of Yaakov's children, none of the children have a ches and a tes. It's chet. Chet and tet together is chet, the sin. So Yaakov Avinu said to them, okay, but you know what? You don't have the letter Kuf and Sadik either. You don't have Kates either. Wow. You're telling me there's no Chet, Ches, and Tes. So I'm telling you there's no Kates either. So therefore I don't have to say it. That's what the Baal HaTorim says. Here, he said, Amru, the children said to Yaakov, Tiktakte Bishmerseinu, V'leidim Sabem Asius Ches, and Tes. V'armelem, so Yaakov said, Gam Eim Bam Asius Kuf and Sadik. That was because they had Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov also. Okay. Okay, that's him. Baal Teis says the same thing, by the way. Okay, so he says, the Shimel Yaakov Yisrael Avichem, listen to Yisrael, your father, to the prophecies which I'm going to be telling you now. Okay, and the fact, as the Mefarshim say, that Yaakov Avinu said to them, Shimel Yisrael Avichem, even though the Pasuk says, V'yikra Yaakov Albanov, Yaakov called his children, but nevertheless, he's telling them now Yisrael, because Yisrael symbolizes the concept of prophecy, that he's telling them things that are holy. And he starts telling him the following. Reuven becheri ata, Reuven, you are my firstborn. Keichi vereshis eini, you are my strength and my initial vigor. Yeses se'eis, you are first in rank. This is what you should have been. First in rank. V'yesed oz, and foremost in power. Now, another interesting thing the Mefarshim point out is Yaakov Avinu is rebuking the first few kids, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, for negative things that they did. When did Yaakov rebuke his kids? Right before he died. The same thing we find that Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked the Jews in the 40th year also right before he died. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara, the Medrash says, learned it from Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu did it. So the Medrash says, why did Yaakov Avinu do it right before he passed away rather than earlier on? Because he didn't want that his kids should run away and leave him. To be very careful when he was rebuking them, because if Yaakov Avinu would have seemingly, what they thought might have been a curse, even though at the end it says he blessed all the children, even those things that seemed to be negative, but Yaakov Avinu was afraid that you might go to move him with Esav. You know, get angry at the father or go to the uncle. And Yaakov didn't want that, so he did it right before he passed away.
What did they do wrong? The stuff that they did to Yosef?
No. We'll soon see what they did. Okay. Shimon and Levi, yes, a little bit, but Reuven different. Now, with your birth being the firstborn, Yaakov Avinu says to him, you should have been the potential strength. Plus, you should have heard, you would burn my initial vigor, and we'll soon see what that means in a second. But yes, it says the yes at oz, meaning what's the ace in oz? Se'eth is rank, meaning priesthood, and oz is power, which is kingship. Meaning, Yaakov Avinu says to Reuven, do you know what you lost? Being the firstborn, you were supposed to be kohuna and malchus, kingdom and priesthood. Because of your sin that we're going to discuss, kohuna went to Levi, you know, Levium, and Malchus went to Yehuda. So that's what Yaakov Avinu is telling. You should have been the first of my vigor and my strength and so on. Rashi says an interesting concept over here. What does it mean? Reishis Eini. Eini refers to the creation of seed, of semen to create a child. And he says that you are my firstborn child, that Yaakov never had an omission of Zera until Reuven was conceived. So that's what he says. Keichi
v'reishis Eini. He was 74 then.
He was 84 when he got married.
74, no?
84.
How come
he said 74?
I think it was
his
sister that they married.
No, it was 84. Rashi says. This is an interesting thing. There's a custom in many places, and it's our custom also, especially in the Hasidic communities, according to Kabbalah, it says that children don't follow a parent's coffin to the funeral. They go a different way. There is such a custom. And the reason for that is, why there is such a custom, because if a man had an emission of seed, that creates spiritual children. In other words, any emission of seed is a creation of a child. It doesn't actually go into a woman, which can create a physical child, but there is a spiritual creation, and if it's a wasted emission, it's actually creating evil, quote-unquote, children, because it's not in its form of Kedusha. So it says that if the children follow after the coffin, then all those forces, all those other children also follow. If the kids don't follow, nobody follows. This is a brought down the minig in Kabbalah. This is our minig. And a person who wasn't into Kabbalah made fun of it. There's a letter from the Rebbe about this. The person made fun of it. And he said, you guys come up with crazy new customs when it says in Chumash that Yaakov's children carried his coffin to his funeral. So how can you have such a custom that you don't carry, children don't follow, when it says in Chumash that Yaakov's children, this is what the person says. So the Rebbe said, so the Rebbe answered, the letter of the Rebbe is very sharp. The Rebbe says, people that make fun of the hidden parts of Torah don't even know the revealed part of Torah. By Yaakov Avinu, the whole reason didn't apply, because Yaakov Avinu's first omission of seed was the conceiving of Reuven. So the whole reason doesn't apply to Yaakov Avinu. So his children carried him. So the Rebbe's answer is, whoever denies the hidden parts of Torah is because they don't even know the revealed parts of Torah. Which in Pasuk in Chumash, the Rebbe said, the guy doesn't even know. What?
Even if they're carrying, if all 12 are carrying the coffin, they're not following it.
Yeah, but they're walking with it. That's even worse. Mm-hmm. It's even worse.
Okay, so walking.
Whatever, I'm not elaborate. I don't want to elaborate on this, but.
Trying to figure out how you. So the children don't walk. In Amin, and the children don't walk at all with it?
Right.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant just. They don't just follow behind. Ah, okay.
Okay. Now.
That's for the mother also?
So some people, some places it says by his mother doesn't apply. And other places, even by the mother, the custom is. It's sometimes like this, sometimes like that. Our custom is, according to Kabbalah, the kids are off at the side. Okay, anyway. So basically, Yaakov is telling Reuven, you could have had priesthood, you could have had kingdom, and you lost it. Why did you lose it? That he says, because pachas kamaya malteser, water-like impetuosity, meaning you were too quick. And therefore, al teisar, you cannot be foremost. Ki alisa mishkeve avicha, because you mounted your father's bed. I'll explain in a second. Os chilauta yitzui ola, and then you desecrated him who ascended on my couch. What happened over here is as follows, and it's so interesting, the way tzaddikim are punished for the most minutest things, that they had great intentions, but you know, like the English saying, that the road to hell is paid with the good intentions, with a lot of good intentions. But Yaakov Avinu, I mean, Reuven was punished here for a thing that he did. It was as follows, like we learned before. Yaakov Avinu's main tent, so to speak, was with Rachel. After Rachel passed away, Yaakov moved his bed into Bilhah's tent, who was Rachel's maidservant. Reuven said, hey, you know, that, you know, I understand Rachel, he wanted to marry first, you know, but not to move back to Leah and to give Bilhah precedence over Leah. Reuven said, that's not right. So Reuven took the bed and moved it into Leah's tent. That's all he did. So because of that, he lost Kuhuna, he lost Malchus, he lost everything. He became like any of the other tribes. Firstborn went to Yosef. That's why firstborn gets double. So Yosef had two tribes, Menashe and Ephraim. Kingdom went to Yehuda. Priesthood went to Levi. And Reuven would have had all three things. What did he already do? He stuck up for his mother's respect. That's basically all he did.
He's a stepmother.
No, Levi was his mother. Reuven's mother was Leah. Right. And he moved the tent, the bed, from Bilhah's tent to his own mother's tent. And he said that she's a primary wife now. So because of that he acted impulsively without asking Yaakov what to do, he forfeited all of this. Now, he didn't reject him completely. Huh? What?
You know what comes to my mind, Rabbi?
Uh-oh. I'm afraid to hear, yeah?
I'm the younger version of Coach.
Yeah, he's out of town for a week, he told me. Yeah. He warned me he wasn't coming, yeah.
If Yosef was magic,
yeah,
with all his greatness, which was not emphasized.
Right.
He did such a minute thing, okay? Who was it?
Reuven.
Reuven.
Okay. He was still a great guy, no?
Yeah.
Right.
Tzaddik.
If someone as great as him did such a minute, microscopic sin, and he's punished for it, you know what? This is the way my brain works. Okay, if he got punished, okay. So that means if I know that I sin, usually, and I'm going to burn for it, why don't I just sin as much more? Might as well get grilled for it.
Right.
It's like you makes you want to throw in the towel. Yeah.
No, just the opposite.
No, not the opposite.
You see stains on the white dress more.
Just the opposite. For you and me, this wouldn't be a problem at all. This wouldn't be a problem at all. Let me tell you, there's a story I mentioned in the past already. A guy once walked into a house, you guys are remember the story. A guy walked into the house, and he saw a man with a long white beard being hit by a younger man. And he's telling him, work, work, come on, you slope walk, go work. So the guy says to him, this is the way you treat your father? You're hitting your father? He said, what? The young guy says, I'm the father, and he's my son. And I'm making that lazy kid work. So he said, what do you mean, you look like the son, not like the father? So he told the famous story, that he used to sweep the floor in the Baal Shem Tov's room. And one time the Baal Shem Tov put his slippers down on the floor. And he was cleaning the room, he didn't know, should he move the slippers, shouldn't he move the slippers? And he realized if the Baal Shem Tov put the slippers down, he's not going to touch them. So he swept around it. The Baal Shem Tov came into the room and said to him, did you move the slippers? He said, no, I didn't. Because you put them down, I didn't want to touch them. So the Baal Shem Tov said, you should live long as you are now. So he had lived long in a young way. When tzaddikim do something, there is a reason why they do it. mixing into tzaddikim's business is not a healthy thing to do. Even though in logic of what we might think as holiness, like Reuven, I mean, from a simple point of view, Reuven was right. What did he do? He stuck up for his mother. Right?
Yeah,
yeah. Why? Because if Yaakov did something, don't play games with him. That's all.
But at the same time, he cannot mix into his father's business.
That's what he's saying. Don't mix into his father. Especially his father was Yaakov, not a Yukul. So, for a person on Reuven's level, let's take it a step further, like we also learned. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, speak to the rock. All he did was hit the rock. And like we learned, the Medrash says he did speak to the rock. It was the wrong rock and nothing happened. And he thought, 1 minute, I'm speaking to the rock, nothing's happening. Maybe God told me to hit the rock like he told me the first time to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. What happened from that whole spiel? God said, you ceased to sanctify me in front of everybody. Now, what did it mean he didn't sanctify God? Hitting a rock and getting water out of it is also a pretty big sanctification of God's name. But speaking to the rock is a bigger sanctification than hitting the rock. So rather than doing it 100% sanctification, Moshe Rabbeinu did a 95% sanctification. Okay? What happened because of it? He couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, which is his greatest wish, and he couldn't, you know, for him that was torture. For me and you, if we sanctify God 95% instead of 100%, God is going to kiss our feet. For Moshe Rabbeinu, he was cursed and punished for the slight detail what he did. And the Gemara has an expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik b'tzadikim k'chut asayro. When it comes to tzadikim, God is very particular. And he's responsible for his actions, that's all.
Couldn't it also be said that Moshe Rabbeinu had hard evidence of Hashem repeatedly, and so all the more reason he had to be more scrupulous while we were acting solely on faith?
Because he's greater, that's the same thing. Reuven, because of this great tzaddik he was, he has to have more than regular. Okay, so that's basically what he did. You haste, you ascended the couch, you did whatever you did, you were wrong for doing it. The Ramban says what Yaakov told Reuven is as follows. You were afraid if I lived with Bilhah, I would have more kids, and then you would lose more property, because there would be more division of kids in dividing up. So he said, because of that, you lost it, and you just, everything that you did was wrong. Another thing that the Medrash also says, another reason why Yaakov punished Reuven was not only for the Bilhah story, with the bed. If you remember before, we learned in a long time ago in Vayeshev that Reuven went and got Dudoyim. I'm sorry, in Vayishlach it was. Yaakov went and got Dudoyim, these flowers of some sort. Man, whatever. And Rachel came home and said, hey, said to Leah, hey, give me some of them. So Leah said, no, you took my husband, you want these? She said, no, you can have them tonight. So really, Yaakov was supposed to go to Rachel that night. Instead, he went to Leah because of Reuven. And Yaakov was upset with that. Because by tzaddikim, there isn't anything which is for no reason at all. There's a reason.
Has Reuven wished it twice?
Yeah. So there's two different opinions in the Medrash. What actually sin, so to speak, did Reuven do?
In the same Medrash?
Different Midrashim.
How is this a sin for Reuven?
Yeah, but he was indirectly, he came about because of him. Yeah, but if he didn't pick the Dudoyim and this and that, so he was an accomplice in the crime, so to speak. Obviously, it wasn't as much to blame as it was for the other thing that he did, moving the bed, but it was also something that he was punished for doing. Okay, so then he goes, he finishes with Reuven. What?
Reuven.
Did what?
First time he mixed Yaakov with the wives unintentionally because of the dying.
No.
And the second time he did it intentionally when he took the bed.
Yeah, but the question is, he punished for both? It's two separate things. Then it says, Shimon and Levi Achim. Now Yaakov Avinu is continuing. Okay, so if Reuven lost it, why doesn't Shimon get it? He's the next oldest. So he says, Shimon v'Levi Achim, now simply means they're brothers. Now obviously it doesn't mean here they're brothers because all 12 were brothers. So what it means, Achim, they're comrades. You know, they acted together. Now, Klei Chomis Mechereisehem, weaponry is a stolen craft. Meaning that they're real brothers, that they united. Okay, but they harbored the same conspiracies against Shechem, and against Yosef. When they came to destroy the city of Shechem, who did it? Shimon and Levi. Against the wishes of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu was upset that they did it. When it came to Yosef, so it says, even though in the Chumash it doesn't say which brother said it, but over there in Chumash it says one brother said to the next, here comes the dreamer. So Rashi says as follows. It can't be Reuven, because Reuven always wanted to save him. Yehuda also said, let's not kill him. The younger kids are not going to speak in front of the older kids. So who's left? Shimon and Levi. So when it says in the Chumash, one brother said to the next, here comes the dreamer, let's kill him. Who were the two? It was Shimon and Levi. Because they always acted as brothers, so to speak.
They risked their lives. I mean, they really...
Yeah, but again... They weren't told to do it. And this is, I mean, not to waste a lot of time on this, but one of the basic fundamentals concepts of Judaism is, do as you're told, not what you think is right. Okay? The classic example is, and again, for something that seemed so trivial, and something that the person meant complete holiness, he was punished that he was stripped of his kingdom. Shalom Melech. In the story when, you know, the Haftarah would read in Parsha Zachar, when Hashem told him to destroy Amalek, and he came back with the animals, and he came back with the women, and, you know, and the king came back with the king Agag. And Hashem said, because he didn't listen to me, I told him to wipe everybody out. He didn't listen to me. See, God said to Shmuel, take away a kingdom from him. He can't be a king anymore. So Shmuel meets Shaul, and he says, Baruch atah Hashem, Shaul HaMelech, says to Shmuel, thank God, Hakimesi is Devar Hashem. I listened, and I did what God told me to do. Shaul said, I did what God wanted me to do. So Shmuel says to him, what's all the sheep I hear? So he said, what do you mean? I want to bring korbanos, thank God for sacrifices. I want to thank God for the victory, so I'm bringing back animals to bring sacrifices. Yeah? Beautiful intentions. Wonderful ideas. So Shmuel HaNavi says to him, Halei Shmaya mizevach taiv. Listening to what you're told to do is better than all your sacrifices. What does this mean? Shaul HaMelech was the epitome of understanding. He was, as the Pasuk says, Mishichme ulamayla gavayim mikolam. Shaul HaMelech was head and shoulders, not only mean physically, that he was big. It says in the Midrashim, and according to Chassidus, Mishichme ulamayla gavayim mikolam, Shaul HaMelech was more intellectual. His head was above everybody else's. He was the epitome of intellect. And Shaul HaMelech understood that you win a war, you have to thank God by bringing the animals back and bringing them as a korban. Yeah? What did God tell him? Got it all wrong, guy. I didn't tell you to understand. I didn't tell you to do what you understand. I told you to do what I told you to do. That was his problem. He went with Seichel. He went with Seichel. So what does this mean? He didn't have Kabbalah's oil. He didn't accept the yoke. So you could have the best intentions, and you could, and like we said many, many times, the other marshal, you're going to remember this also, that a general tells a soldier to do something, and the soldier doesn't listen, and because he doesn't listen, they win the war. If the soldier listened, they would have lost the war. Because he didn't listen, he won the war. So what do you do to the soldier? You court-martial him. Ah, he won the war. The answer is the job of a soldier is not to win wars. The job of a soldier is to listen. So, Yaakov Avinu did something. Reuven didn't understand it. Shimon and Levi didn't understand it. But Yaakov Avinu says, you know what? That's not what Judaism is all about. Judaism is not all about doing what I think is right. Reuven thought it's right to stick up for his mother, move the bed back. Yeah? Reuven thought it's very nice bringing my mother a bunch of flowers. You know, he was such a good son, he brought his mother flowers for Shabbos. Yeah? Shimon and Levi said, listen, Shechem defiled our sister, we're going to go do what we have to do. Yeah? Bottom line is, God said, Yaakov Avinu in other words, don't do it. You know, they didn't ask, they just did it. But Yaakov Avinu said, what do you mean doing without asking? Because you understand that this is what's right to do? So what if you think and understand it's right to do? Even if you're right, you're wrong. Even if you're right, you're wrong. Because that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be listening to what you're supposed to do.
I don't think it was
so, huh?
Parents,
who?
Pinchas.
Yeah. Pinchas, and that was the greatness of Pinchas. Pinchas asked permission. He came to Meisha. Meisha Beinu, because it was a personal insult against Meisha, Meisha Beinu became unbiased. I'm sorry, he became biased because it was a personal insult against him. He came, the guy with the shiksa came and said to him, is she allowed or not? Meisha Beinu said, also. He said, how did you marry Tzipora? Also shiksa. Right? So Meisha Beinu immediately became involved. So he was out of the picture. Pinchas came to Meisha Rabbeinu. He didn't do it on his own. Pinchas came to Meisha Rabbeinu and said, didn't you teach us that you can kill him? So Meisha Rabbeinu said, Kraini digar to Levi Pravanka, which means the one that reads the letter, carry out what the letter says. He got permission to do it. Understand? Nachshon and Aminadav jumped into the sea because God said go. Go, so he jumped. But if God didn't say go, he wouldn't jump. Instead, you need the permission. So this is what upset Yaakov Avinu. So, you know, we don't have this problem. I mean, we have Baruch Hashem, we don't have this problem. We have other problems. But for Reuven and Shimon and Levi, it was a very big issue. That they lost big things because of it. What?
I think that the thing was roots or roots because it's written that Reuven didn't eat it.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's not the point. The whole machlek is what the Dudoim were. Rashi says it was some hefker. Whatever. But it's something that was... That the fact is that because of that, it didn't happen what was supposed to happen. And he said, you know, this is what your instruments are wrong. Yaakov Avinu said that in their conspiracy, I have nothing to do with it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. The column in their communities, in their congregation, do not put my honor. And this refers to that later on in Kedach, in Pashas Kedach, it says, Vayikach Kedach ben Yitzhar ben Kohaz ben Levi. And it doesn't say ben Yaakov. when Korach came up against, to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu, when Korach wanted to become a leader, so it says in the Pasuk, who was Korach? Ben Yitzhar, the son of Kohath, Ben Levi. So Rashi said, why doesn't it say Ben Yaakov also? Because Yaakov said, I don't have anything to do with you guys. Don't stick my name in your congregation. If you're going to fight, I don't have anything to do with it. And this is an interesting concept. Yaakov Avinu says, I can't put my name, I can't associate my name in anything that means fighting. No matter what the fight is. Even if the fight is meant for holiness. And it's interesting, when there was the fight between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim in the time of the Alter Rebbe, so the Misnagdim were excommunicating the Chassidim, and the Chassidim wanted to excommunicate the Misnagdim, and they needed a minion to do the excommunication, the ban against the Misnagdim, and they came to the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe would be the 10th one on the ban, and the Alter Rebbe refused. He said, I have nothing to do with Machlokes. I have nothing to do with, even though the Misnagdim wanted to put the Chassidim into Chedim. And there was but he said, when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, and again, it's so remarkable because this is not only Yaakov Avinu talking to his children, this is Yaakov Avinu talking to us, and we have to learn for what Yaakov Avinu is teaching his children, how we have to live.
I wonder what he would do if somebody, they did a shame to their daughter. What would he do? What did Yaakov Avinu expect his son to do? To just sit there and take it?
First of all,
yes, they said.
No, when Yaakov Avinu screamed at them, when Yaakov Avinu screamed at them, they answered back, "Hachazeina yaseh hachiseina." Should we make our sister free for all? Okay, in Chumash there was no reply of Yaakov Avinu to them when they said it. But the bottom line is, before you take the law into your own hands, you get permission from the authorities to be able to do it. That's what Yaakov Avinu is telling his children.
So what would he do?
Yeah, Yaakov Avinu was very, he cursed them because of it.
He cursed them
for killing out the city.
Yeah. You don't curse people, you curse what they do. But so he cursed what they did.
How did he curse?
He said that Reuven lost it, so you could have gotten it as the second oldest. You lost it too. He disassociated himself with their descendants of Korach, and so on. Yaakov Avinu was very firm. Who? Yeah.
The right thing.
No, because Yaakov Avinu was upset that they did it. Not only the way they did it. First, they got everybody to do a bris milah. To get them all sick and weak. And then they want to kill him out. Yeah, well, Rashi said, B'mirma b'chochma. But Yaakov Avinu said, what does that look like? What does that look like?
That's wicked chochma.
So Yaakov Avinu was upset with it. But Yaakov Avinu is teaching us how to behave. You don't do things on your own, even though your intentions are great, without the permission. Yaakov Avinu puts his bed here, leave it there. That's all. Don't move it. Who are you to move it? You have the right intentions and everything is right, or you think it's proper to kill out Shimon and Levi to become a zealous fighter? Get permission from Yaakov Avinu. He will teach you how to do it, when to do it, and that's all. And he's telling the kids, this is no good, the way you behaved.
Or a mashpia before making certain choices and decisions. Before we do certain things, we should ask people who know.
Who's that? Your rabbi? They tell you right hand and left hand. It's dangerous.
There is a concept to find out what does Torah want the person to do. Because there's a lot of zealousness that people do, which is incorrect. And against the Torah. the many kanoim, you know, that do things that the Torah approaches, that don't do it. First of
all,
first of all, a person has to understand that a person cannot make decisions for themselves without being biased. It's impossible. Well, you can't really know what is Torah say if you're blinded by self-love. So how are you going to do it? You can't. It doesn't work. Okay, we'll continue.